Smith leaned down. There was a flash of blue, and then he vanished. Gaspode shivered. He paddled into the water and nudged Gavin's sodden fur with his nose.
"Shouldn't be like this," he whined. "If you was a human, they'd put you on a big boat on the tide and set fire to it and everyone would see. Shouldn't just be you and me down here in the cold."
There was something that had to be done too. He knew it in his bones. He crawled back to the bank and pulled himself up onto the trunk of a fallen willow. He cleared his throat. Then he howled. It started badly, hesitantly, but it picked up and got stronger, richer, and when he paused for breath, the howl went on and on, passing from throat to throat across the forest. The sound wrapped him as he slid off the log and struggled on towards higher ground. It lifted him over the deeper snow. It wound around the trees, a platting of many voices, becoming something with a life of its own. He remembered thinking, maybe it'll even get as far as Ankh-Morpork. Maybe it'll get much further than that. Vimes was impressed by the Baroness. She fought back in a corner.
"I know nothing about any deaths."
A howl came up from the forest. How many wolves were there? You never saw them, and then when they cried out, it sounded as though there was one behind every tree. This one went on and on. It sounded like a cry thrown into a lake of air, the ripples spreading out across the mountains. Angua threw her head back and screamed. Then, breath hissing between her teeth, she advanced on the Baroness, fingers flexing.
"Give him the damned stone," she hissed. "Will any of you face me now? Then give him the stone."
"What seems to be the trouble?"
Igor lurched through the stricken gates, trailed by Detritus. He caught sight of the two bodies and hurried over like a very large spider.
"Fetch the stone," growled Angua, "and then we will leave. I can smell it. Or do you want me to take it?"
Seraphine glared at her, then turned on her heel and ran back into the ruins of the castle. The other werewolves shrank back from Angua as if her stare was a whip.
"If you can't help these men," said Vimes to the kneeling Igor, "your future does not look good."
Igor nodded.
"This one," he said, indicating Tantany, "flesh wounds. I can stitch him up a treat, no problem. This one," he tapped Carrot, "nasty break on the arm." He glanced up. "Master Wolfgang been playing again?"
"Can you make him well?" snapped Vimes.
"No, it's his lucky day," said Igor. "I can make him better. I've got some kidneys just in, a lovely little pair. Belong to young Mr. Crapanthi. Hardly touched a drop of strong liquor. Same about the Avalanche."
"Does he need them?" said Angua.
"No, but you should never miss an opportunity to improve yourself, I always say."
Igor grinned. It was a strange sight. The scars crawled around his face like caterpillars.
"Just see to the arm," said Vimes firmly.
The Baroness reappeared, flanked by several werewolves. They also backed away as Angua spun round.
"Take it," said Seraphine. "Take the wretched thing. It's a fake. No crime has been committed."
"I'm a policeman," said Vimes. "I can always find a crime."
The sleigh slid under its own weight down the track towards Bjonk, the town's watchmen running alongside it and giving it the occasional push. With their captain down, they were lost and bewildered, and in no mood to take orders from Vimes, but they did what Angua commanded, because Angua was of the class that traditionally gave them orders. The two casualties were bedded down on blankets.
"Angua," said Vimes.
"Yes, sir."
"There's wolves keeping pace with us. I can see them running between the trees."
"I know."
"Are they on our side?"
"Let's just say they're not on anyone's side yet, shall we? They don't like me much, but they know Gavin did. Right now, that's what's important. Some of them are out looking for my brother."
"Would he have survived that? It was a long way down."
"Well, it wasn't fire or silver. There's nothing but white water for miles. It probably hurt a lot, but we heal amazingly well, sir."
"Look, I'm sorry that..."
"No, Mr. Vimes, you're not. You shouldn't be. Carrot just didn't understand what Wolfgang is like. You can't beat something like him in a fair fight. I know he's family, but personal is not the same as important. Carrot always said that."
"Says that?"
said Sybil sharply.
"Yes."
Carrot opened his eyes.
"What happened back there?"
he said.
Wolfgang hit you, said Angua. She wiped his brow.